Well, talking about work, just a word of thanks to some folks doing some extra work around church building here. Dana Rogers and Ken Simmons and anybody else who helped out with the cupboard in the international class, Sunday school class. Thank you, fellas, for the sweat and labor. And was there any assistance besides those two that I might have missed?
Frankie Kohler.
Thank you. And appreciate those guys doing that on the hot days this last week, in the last couple weeks, actually. And don't forget the different activities coming up. Pray for the Neighbor Day to be a blessing, first to Christ, and then to visitors, and then last, and perhaps least at that point, for each other, as we put Christ first, others second, and ourselves last, as just a way of being a blessing to folks around us. Also, if you want to connect to other people in a closer manner than maybe you are right now, I encourage you to sign up for a small group fellowship. If you're in one, stay there and invite another folk. If you're not in one, it's our desire is it would be a safe place for you to grow closer to Christ as you grow closer to each other. And in God's Word, again, the surprising discipleship call is we do grow closer to Christ as we grow closer to one another. Remember one fellow telling me, Bob, do you love your neighbor? I said, yes, I do. You know, and he said, well, how are you around them much? No, I'm not. And so the more openness you might be able to have with people, connect with them, more likely you'll be following Christ in good discipleship. So take a hold of that and follow the Lord in that way. With work being a blessing from God, imagine a true story with a little bit of your extra creativity behind it, I think. A man's heading for work on Monday morning. And he's full of anticipation, thankfulness. He's whistling, not while he works, but even before he gets to work. He's so excited for the opportunity because he gets to join a farmer in the work of farming. It's no ordinary farmer, but this farmer is the one who invented farming itself. Could you imagine being involved in something like that? So he heads to work. He gets there on Monday morning. He says, PGIM. Thank God it's Monday. I don't know. Probably none of us had said that this past week. Perhaps we said TGIF. Thank God it's Friday as we fled from work as opposed to heading to work. But who was the first man, the first farmer, and the first worker? If you look in Genesis, it says God planted a garden. God planted a garden. And he had trees growing. And he had all kind of good things growing. And then he invited Adam to come and work with him in the garden. And if you could see your week coming up, or your week is past week, God and man working together. God and you working together. And the Bible says it was paradise. It was paradise. And as you think of that, and think of what Jesus did for us in putting our souls back at peace with God, perhaps one of the most difficult things to get back under God's lordship is work itself. For most people, if I said, God wants to help you in your relationships and get them under Christ, you'd say, yes, I believe that and I see that. And family life, God wants your family life under Christ and Him be the very center of that. Amen, you'd say. Your work. Jesus wants to be Lord at work and for you to work with God in what you're doing. You'd say, well, this will take divine intervention. You know, and so, but the Lord, that's part of His will for us. It's a thing we can have changed in our heart, and it's a gift from Him. 15 years ago, Chuck Colson wrote a book called Why America Doesn't Work. Why America Doesn't Work. And the book wasn't about just people not wanting to work and, you know, just avoiding it like the plague. But that book really focused in on people not wanting to love God through the opportunity of work. That which you and I do probably one third of our lives. Inside the house, we have jobs. Outside the house, it's work. Some who retire work more after they retire than before they retire. Some of you are right in that. And how can we ask Jesus to put that before him? There are often two sinful responses to work. The one is to flee work. And that would be called sloth or laziness. Sometimes even we'll work doubly hard to get rid of, to avoid work more often. That certainly wouldn't be God's will for us. He teams us up with us. And again, a part of paradise was work. And the Bible says if we're slothful or lazy, then we're a partner to one who destroys. Now this week you and I wouldn't go out and start smashing buildings and stomping on gardens and burning up people's lawns. But if we're slothful in work, we're a partner to one who destroys. And that includes working on a healthy family life and all those things. And the second thing we do about work, which is often just as sinful, and you may be more prone to in America, often does this. We will worship work as a god. We will worship work as a god. Our work begins to mean everything to us. It becomes an idol. And someone said that there's nothing too good for our idol that we will not sacrifice. We'll sacrifice our time. We'll sacrifice our health. We'll sacrifice our family for the sake of this work. See, because if we don't work, we really feel like we're in big trouble. Perhaps we wouldn't look to God to provide that. We would want to provide that in by the strength of our hand, we'll provide it. That's not God's way for us in the gift of work that he would provide. And only Christ can deliver us from the rat race, well, of turning work into a rat race. Different parts of creation that were meant to be good, whether we're talking about work or family or even church, by themselves, you know, there's brokenness there, but we bring our sin to work. And we make it tough. We bring our sin into the family. And we make it broken. We bring our sin into church and make it non-functional. So it's not work that's the problem. The problem is our heart, what we bring to the tasks that God puts before us. The Bible's very realistic in terms of what work looks like after the fall. Work is painful and full of sweat and toil. Most of us experience that a little bit. Those who work in the home prepare 14 to 21 meals every day or every week, maybe as a mom. Taken for granted. I don't like that. You know, we expect it on time and all those things. And so sometimes discouragement seems meaningless. Why should I do that? Why should I do that? I remember working in a restaurant, a pretty nice restaurant one summer. And my job is to set the tables, clear off the tables. I thought I could do that. That's easy. It was harder and more complicated than I thought. People around me made it so. Two knives, two forks, two glasses, water glass and a wine glass. You order lemonade, you get a third glass. Now you've got three glasses. And I went so much doing that. I noticed people weren't ordering wine much. Never thought about should I be serving them that, you know, as a Christian. But I told the manager, you think we should put the wine glasses out? Nobody's even using them. I put it down. I take it off. It has to get washed. I put it down. I take it off again. I do that 10 times before anybody even uses the thing. He said, put it out there. I didn't know Ecclesiastes, but I might have said, meaningless, meaningless. This work is meaningless. And the job you are in, God has called you to sometimes that, to persevere, to find him in what looks like that which is not helpful. What the Bible tells us that God would honor the laborer. Fred quoted the artisan. Anybody who's skilled at anything will serve before kings, God's word says. And God often uses ordinary people in ordinary tasks to honor his name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, when God chose you, not many were noble, not many were influential. But God chose the lowly to help everybody know we need Christ. So you, if you have a task you consider lowly, that is a way to honor God. When I go to, probably go to too many fast food places because I'm eating in a hurry too much. But if I go to Wendy's in North Huntington, one of the things I notice is that particular place, the people, they greet me. They smile at me when they're serving me their food. They thank me for coming. If I sit down in a restaurant, they'll even come and sweep up the crumbs under my feet. They're like King Bob down there. Ordinary task, done in an ordinary manner, brings honor to God. I feel more refreshed by how the work is done than the unhealthy cheeseburger I'm eating there. The ordinary work done to by the ordinary person gives honor to God. That's a calling perhaps God has given you, and to serve as you would serve Christ. The second thing we could take as a work is to know it's a gift from God. People labored in paradise, they'll labor in heaven. When we get to heaven, it won't be 10,000 years of being a couch potato. For some, unfortunately, that's their ideal. But you know in your heart, you feel good about life when you're involved and doing things. In terms of labor, I feel I am the happiest when I work the hardest. If I have to work half speed or if I have to slow up so things don't get done too quickly, I don't even want to do it. I think you would find the same. The labor is a gift from God. One man who's unemployed often went for a job interview, and he did this. He said, I'd like to work. I really want to work. And I think I would like this job. I think I would help the company here. He said, in fact, what I'll do, I will work here for 3 months, and you don't have to pay me. That's how much I would love to do this work. And then at the end of 3 months, if you want to pay me, start paying me, then I'll be glad to take the job. If you don't want me, that's fine. If I discover I'm not good at it, I don't want to be here, that's fine. But that man saw the value of just work in itself, and he was never without work too long because he was willing. And he saw it as a gift from God. The third perspective the Bible would give us on laboring is that any work done with God is the work of God. This is a big change for us, what we normally think of as the work of God. Say the phrase, well, they're involved in the work of God. You might think something's going on Sunday morning, or maybe he's talking about a pastor or missionary. But any done work with God is the work of God. If we could see our jobs as a vocation, that's something that came out of the Reformation, the word vocation. You know, word vocation means calling. I got this calling that I seem to find my niche with the Lord. In that calling, the work of God is done because you're working with God. If we see the screen here, fellows will be on the slide coming up. Often we think of what is a spiritual work, again, as something that's strictly associated with church life itself. But really, spiritual work in the Bible is any work done with Christ. For example, if you were to go to Sunday school or if you were to go to school, in the Lord's heart, both of those would be very, very important. I didn't hear of Sunday school until I was about 18. I didn't know Sunday school existed. So when I went to my first Sunday school classes, I noticed this, that the people who were excited about Sunday school and wanted to get into the Gospel of John or Psalms or whatever it was, were the same people who were excited about learning things in everyday life. That is, they were a good, enthusiastic student at school, and that just translated into how they treated special revelation from God. In any kind of school setting, we learn what God has created as truth for everything. Had a fellow in the first service pray for the doctors to do well with him and a cornea transplant. Cornea transplants, they probably haven't done except within the last 20 years. But God has allowed people the truth of being able to do such a procedure anyone could learn how to do that, to honor God in a special way. And so if you're a student, that left side there, when you go to class and work with God, you're doing the work of God by learning that geography, that biology, that art. Some of you have to pray through that one. But you're seeing God's work in everything. Some unfortunately stop learning on the left side and the right side. They say, I'll just kind of drop out emotionally from the task of learning. Well, you don't want to do that. You want to learn every day from where God sends you. Be trained in school. Be trained in Sunday school. That's one. Second way of looking at the Lord's spiritual work is through worship and work itself. When I say the name Tony Dungy, what do you think about? You might first think, well, the Lord, he's a man who knows Christ, but you think of what he does, his work. Do you know where he goes to worship at? I don't. Do you know what version of the Bible he uses? I don't. His major witness in life came from work. People know him. They say, that's a Christian man. We can see how he acts 5-6 days a week doing what he's doing. See, so at your work, you think most of the people where you work and go to school know you're here this morning? Not unless you shared that with you. But they're going to know how you lived, and that's a spiritual work. You're working with God on the job. And hopefully when you come to worship, the same thing occurs. You say, I'm here with Christ to honor Christ. And I'm going to challenge you. Some of you are real good on the left side but not good on the right side and vice versa. If you go to work and you're a tiger at work, you show up to work, you're kind of the first one there. You're enthusiastic. Your heart's in it. And you know, you get rewarded for it. I'm glad. That's a good thing. Could you apply the same enthusiasm and the same heart preparation and the same sense of responsibility for worship as you do for work? The same attendance, conscientiousness, the same commitment. If you acted at work like you act in worship, would you be fired within a week? Because you're not there. You're disconnected. See, the Lord's work as you go. The Lord's work as you come together. We labor with God. It becomes a gift with Him. Same is true with prayer and conversation. To pray with God because you want to be built up with Him. To speak with others. So you want to build them up. Thank you, guys. That's part of God's gift of calling in our lives. To see our jobs as a ministry, to be faithful, as the Bible says. Do it as serving Christ. Do it as serving Christ. I know for me, certain things are easier for me to know Christ is with me. Sometimes it's just, I'm sure everybody has experienced this. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a singer or maybe have some kind of public ministry, sometimes it's easier to know I'm working with God mowing the lawn than it is preaching a sermon. Because when you mow the lawn, you think it began, it ended, and I see the results. If you sing a song or if you preach a sermon, it's like, I don't know if anything spiritually will grow. It's a trust of God at that point. But again, you serve the Lord, whether mowing the lawn or on the job that you call, you're called to. And most people at work where you will connect with others, maybe it's in the neighborhood or at the job. Most people, by the way, aren't sitting around thinking, I wonder where I'll spend eternity. Heaven and hell are realities that all of us should deal with every day. But most of them aren't thinking that way. But if they see you work in a godly manner and in a joyful manner, it's almost, when they see you at work, they'll say, it's almost like he's working for some eternal purpose over here. they're going to think, now what is the eternal purpose for my life? To meet God at work? To be with God forever in heaven? As a gift, that would have to be. And however, we see work. Remember what the Bible says. Who can find happiness in work without God? Who can find it? Whether you're working 6 days a week or whether you're in a service on a Sunday morning, you're not going to have joy in your life without connecting with God. That's just the truth of it. But if you connect with God and say, this is a part of God's will for my life, you'll find a joy in Him. And you'll be sustained through those times of meaninglessness. However we view work as a gift from paradise, which it is, we should know this. No matter what work we do, 6 days a week or on a Sunday morning, that particular work will never get us to heaven. Did you realize that? That particular work will never get us to heaven. But it was a work that God did out of His love and His commitment, His attention, that He would give His Son on the cross to, so that we might have life forever with Him. So eternity would be bright. And Monday through Friday or Saturday would have a brightness of eternity also. Because through the work of Christ, we'd be at peace with God and would have a mission in life. So when perhaps you go to work Tuesday, Monday, thank God it's Monday. I'm laboring with God. Thank God for Jesus. He labored for me so I can be at peace with Him. The alternative, we know the alternative. Rat race on earth. Eternity separated from God. Why spend the few days we have in that emptiness? But a foretaste of the work of Christ for what He did for us. If you're here and perhaps never experienced a day of peace at work, maybe it's because you're not at peace with God through faith in Christ. If you say, Jesus, be my Savior, do the work of salvation for me. Christ will bring forgiveness. He'll bring meaning to your work. And one day He'll take you to heaven to be with Him. He's a gracious Lord. Turn to Him and commit that huge part of your life to His Lordship and salvation. Let's pray together.